to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here on another episode of Checkpoint Intimate. It's a show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one on a particular topic. My name is Luke, hosting Intimates, which I love, and I am joined by Elliot.
Yeah, I'm always on the other side of this thing.
Yeah, I'm taking over.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. And today, I guess we thought, you know, we had our big Game of the Year episode last week. We've counted down our top 10 games of 2019, but there's so many games that come out each year, it is almost an impossible task to whittle it down to just 10.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's go through the ones that just missed out, because we had a big voting system with the Checkpoint team. Everyone put nominations in, then there was a voting system in place after that. It's quite complicated, if I do say so myself. And there were a bunch of really great quality titles that missed out, but they also deserve recognition for being stellar in a year of great games.
Some of them missed out by a single vote, and so it's worthy of bringing them up, bringing them to the attention and saying, hey, these games are also cool. Having said that, if you haven't listened to our top 10 yet, turn this podcast off, go listen, go find that one, listen to that,
go
finish
back.
That,
yeah.
Then come back to this one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you'll be in the correct timeline.
Yeah, or this can be like a precursor. You'll be like, oh, these are the games that didn't quite make it. Imagine the quality that made it. So, you know, choose your own adventure, guys. It's all good. But let's go through them. Let's first go through the list that's officially missed out. And then, Elliot, I think me and you have a couple of games that we probably feel personally could have made the top 10 but didn't as well. So firstly, Kingdom Hearts 3 was one that a lot of people voted for in our team. Our team are a group of Kingdom Hearts lovers, they are. Kingdom Hearts 3 came out in January. I think that's the kind of game that I think gets a lot of praise just because it was so anticipated for so long.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, Kingdom Hearts 3 was a massive release. Whether you're one of the people who loved it and jumped in and were just waiting for it, or whether you were somebody like me who just heard all the love and attention that this game was getting, there's no way you didn't realize that Kingdom Hearts 3 was releasing. And it was at the start of the year, but obviously it stuck with people enough to take it all the way through till, you know, the hype and love that it's getting now. I think this is a good spot for it to sit, not in the top 10, but just outside of the top 10, because to me it's one of those games where if you're a fan of it, or if you're really into that kind of style, or if you really know this particular franchise a lot, this could be like the best thing that released this year. But for everybody else, and kind of on a, you know, a less subjective kind of viewpoint, there was some errors and faults and stuff that left it from being the best of the best.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, especially us being in position of critics as well. You know, you got to look at judge a game based on its merits. You can't just be like, oh, but I'm a fan of this and therefore I love it. Like, you need to look at, you know, is the gameplay solid? Is the frame rate good? Is the storyline coherent? There's other things that you kind of grade a game on, I guess.
Yeah.
That's not to say it isn't a good game, because from all reports, it's a decent game. But in terms of being like a game of the year candidate, it's definitely one that was made for the fans first, and for everybody else second. I think if you hadn't played Kingdom Hearts before, you probably feel a bit lost jumping into this one, because there is so much lore and history across.
Oh, God, yeah.
Not just Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, but all the weird little side Kingdom Hearts games they did. Kingdom Hearts 365/2 Remix. Like, all these weird memories. Like, rewind stupid games that sort of encapsulate the entire Kingdom Hearts experience. Even Kingdom Hearts fans struggle to explain the story to other Kingdom Hearts fans. So how must we feel sitting here on the outside looking in?
Oh, yeah. But as like, for those who are like live and die Kingdom Hearts fans, like, this must have been such a great release for them.
And next on the list that just missed out, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Now, this is a game that was originally backed on Kickstarter several years ago, coming from the team who originally made the old Castlevania games. So this is in the same style, that whole 2D side-scrolling Metroidvania or Castlevania action game with some really cool horror parts involved as well. And some people really love this game.
Yeah, they had a reputation to live up to. Like, how many times have we heard, like, oh, we used to be the developers on this, and we're bringing this kind of franchise or this genre of game back to life.
Or look at Ukulele, for example, from the guys that played
Mighty Number 9.
Rare.
Yeah. Like, there are so many times that these projects, this fanfare of nostalgia kind of flops over and boils down to nothing. And then Incom's Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, and for all accounts, it's a really, really good game. So
yeah, I've heard great things as well. Apparently, the Switch port's not up to snuff compared to the other versions of the game. It had some frame rate trouble and some other issues. But yeah, I think it's the main thing is, and I'm someone who backed Yooka-Laylee and then was a bit disappointed when it came out. It didn't quite live up to the expectations that I had of that genre. And from what I've heard of Bloodstained, because I haven't played it myself yet, is that, yeah, it lives up to those claims that it initially put out in the Kickstarter. And that's really nice, the fact that it actually succeeded on doing what they said they were going to do with Bloodstained at the end of the day, even though it came out years later, even though there was a Vita version promised that got cancelled because in that time the Vita stopped. So, Bloodstained Ritual and I also just missing out on our top 10. Another one's a controversial one, which I haven't played. Elliot, I don't think you have either.
No.
But we can definitely talk about it, because a lot of people have.
Oh, I've heard so much about this game, more than any game I've ever played this year.
I will say, banging song from Churches. Yes. Banging song. Death Stranding. Norman Reedus, Hideo Kojima, and Mads Mikkelsen combined their powers to make a controversial game, and a game that's quite divisive, but by all accounts, this elaborate, over-the-top production that did capture the hearts and minds of a lot of people.
Yeah, well, for those who are, like, our listeners, you might know that there is some hate towards this particular game, but we have a lot of voices at the Checkpoint team, and some of them don't always get as heard as others, and I think this is a testament to the fact that, you know, it is a divisive game, and there are some people on our team that this game might not gel with or connect with, but there are other people behind the scenes who love this game. I know for a fact that this was the game of the year for at least one of our contributors and writers, and it meant a lot to him, so Death Stranding, obviously it resonated with enough people to almost make our top 10 list.
And I think, you know, when you have a creator like Kojima who has such a clear vision and a clear direction that they want to go with what they're making and what they're working on as an artist, and people might even hate on me for even calling him an artist, but I mean, he is. And I think that, you know, people often have affinities for these particular game directors and these creators who they will absolutely love anything they do because they put their hand on it. You know, Jonathan Blow is another one who I hear they're making a game and I'm like, oh my God, have to have it.
Whatever the next Blow is, I'm on it.
And I'm going to be, it's my game of the year, I can tell you now. Like, you know what I mean? In advance of it even existing. So I do understand that Kojima has a lot of love and Death Stranding has a lot of love. It's this big, beastly production. It looks amazing. It has some weird out there concepts and ideas, but I mean, you know, a huge achievement in terms of its technical design in 2019, that's for sure.
Yeah, and just doing new things that we might not have seen before and not afraid to move in new directions.
Exactly. Next one on the list is another one that I haven't played yet. I want to. Colby just gave me his copy that I can check out. Is Judgment, which again is one that I'm not surprised people really liked because it comes from the guys who made Yakuza as a franchise, which, you know, Yakuza has been around for a very long time. Sega franchise that has always mashed this kind of beat-em-up detective story with like crazy mini games and antics and very Japanese cultural, very, very cool. And for me, Yakuza was always this game that looked amazing, but there were so many Yakuzas. We're up to like Yakuza 7 or something now that for me, I find it hard to jump in because I feel like I've missed so much. How do I know these characters and who they are and what their motivations are? So Judgment came out this year from the same developer with a new character. Not new to the world of Yakuza necessarily, but a new IP, that's for sure, and a new story that didn't require the knowledge of the previous Yakuza games. And it looks like it captured that sort of detective beat-em-up action with a bit of a serious tone and did some great things. I know Charlie and Colby both friggin' love this game.
Oh, absolutely. And like those Yakuza games and Judgment as well follows the same trend. They're what you'd call a cult classic. Not everybody plays it. It's not the most mainstream game out there, but those who sink their teeth into it and really get into it, like, they love it. And I want to play Judgment like you because it is that new starting point.
Yeah, I finally feel like it's a Yakuza game that I can play that won't make me feel like I've missed so much context.
Yeah, it's that or Yakuza 0, which apparently they did a really good job of kind of restarting things as well.
But yeah, and I am really keen to get stuck into Judgment. And no surprise that it factored into a lot of people's lists this year.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about games we've played.
Yeah, well, go on.
Slay the Spire is the next on our list. Man, this came out right at the start of the year. It was in early access. It did its full release, and I only played it once it actually did its full release. It is this card game roguelike that is, it was kind of like nothing I had seen before, because even the games that it took inspiration from, it did things in a different way, or I just hadn't played those games before it, and I was captured by this game instantly. I love a roguelike game, and I love a card game, and I didn't know I wanted them combined like this, but Slay the Spire managed to do it, and this is one of those games that keeps getting updates and additions and stuff, and so much love from the developer, and such a small indie studio to make a project that really stood out amongst, you know, what was a crazy year for video games as well.
It's done very well. It's made its mark, that's for sure. And also available on Xbox Game Pass as well, so you can check it out if you have that on
either, no excuses,
either Xbox or PC. Yeah, get around it. It's just, for me, those sort of elements where it's roguelike, but it's also got this card game element to it, they're just things that I really enjoy because they don't require this intense time commitment. Hmm. It doesn't mean the game doesn't suck you in for hours and hours, because it does. But it's also something where you have a bit of time. You're like, I'm just going to put on some Slay the Spire. I'm going to give it a run. I'm going to give it a go.
You can do really it while you're listening to music or podcasts and something. And I really adore those games that don't take your full attention.
Yeah.
But you're still really captured by the mechanics of it. And just, it's just a strategy game. It's a very simple concept where you just have to progress through the spire and get to the end. And the way you do that is through, you know, the strategy you implement through this card game mechanic. And it's just, it does what it knows what it is, and it does that really, really well.
And a shout out, we are seeing another roguelike card game inspired release from Australia next year.
Ring of Pain.
Which hopefully makes similar waves.
Oh yeah, this is why I need to play this game too.
I know, I'm so excited. Now the next one is one that took the world by storm out of nowhere. It released almost with zero fanfare. It was in our hands, free to play, and almost knocked Fortnite off its perch. I'm talking about Apex Legends.
Yeah, so in our top 10, this is what I was most disappointed didn't make the cut. I think Apex Legends is a fantastic game. I think it launched as like the best one of these Battle Royale games, as far as like, you
most
know,
finished
the
as
launch
well.
Week. You know, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds launched in such a weird way. Fortnite launched in such a weird way. And they both took so long to reach their, you know, full potential. Whereas Apex is just out of the door, just kicked down doors and slayed monsters and whatever. Like
metaphors,
it won. It did so well.
It did so well. I mean, it took the Battle Royale genre that we thought we'd seen everything of at that point. You know, there were already several versions that were like Fortnite or PUBG, and it was kind of getting a bit stale. We're like, oh, okay, everything's doing Battle Royale, Call of Duty Battle Royale, and Realm Royale. Okay. And then this breath of fresh air comes in, Apex Legends. It's fast-paced. It's the Titanfall 2 speed that you get from this developer at Respawn, which is so exciting. It's three players, so straight away it's unique. It's got a different team size. It is frenetic, the way you have the ping system that's so, so good. You can let people know on the map where things are. So the good, in fact.
Ping was phenomenal.
Fortnite has copied them now, basically. Like, they've outright, the whole the respawning mechanic in that game, Fortnite has also copied. And I mean, that's the biggest form of flattery, right? When the biggest game in the world is taking your ideas and putting them in their game because what you've made is so special.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise that Apex Legends, the best when it came out, I was playing it every night. Like, it was addictive.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was, for my money, the best shooting within a Battle Royale game, and that's because, you know, Respawn, the Titanfall 2 developers, are just so good with those shooting mechanics. They know what they're doing, and you really felt it when you were playing Apex Legends. The level of polish and quality there was crazy. The characters were awesome and diverse and really cool and fun. Yeah, it really, really stood out.
And the next one is a game that you reviewed, Elliot, and that I've put a lot of time into, Pokemon Sword and Shield. Also just missing out on our top 10. Yeah. I thought it might make it in because our writers love some Pokemon.
Yes.
Froth some Pokemon.
I was surprised it didn't quite make our top 10. I'm glad it didn't, because much like Kingdom Hearts 3, I see it as something that is so likable and enjoyable, but also flawed. And so that's why this, to me, feels like the perfect position for it to be in. I mean, you can read my review if you really want to, but it boils down to, hey, fun, enjoyable game that I actually really, well, I was smiling while I was playing it, I really enjoyed it, but like, there could have been way more here. They could have fleshed this out. They could have done this better. It's not quite the advancement on the formula we really wanted.
It should have been a huge leap onto home consoles. And instead, it just kind of strolled in with some of the same stuff it already did previously.
Yeah.
And upgraded a little bit. And I think, you know, your review hit the nail on the head. There are these really great ideas in the game that they need to flesh out more. If they can do that sort of wild area in future Pokemon games that make it more detailed, more varied, more interesting, more visually detailed as well, that could be a real amazing game just by itself. Just going through the wild area, catching Pokemon and exploring like an MMO with other players running around and big joint battles. I mean, it's like Pokemon Go, but in a game, basically, you know? And I think that's a really cool thing they put in there. But yeah, it did feel half-baked. It felt like this is the idea and the concept, and now they need to go with that concept and take it to that next level.
Yeah, and it's that battle of objectivity versus subjectivity sometimes, because I sometimes finish games for review that I love, but then I'll never play it again. Whereas Pokemon was that opposite for me. It was something that I finished and I knew it was flawed, but then I'll go back to it over and over again because despite those flaws, I love the game. Like, it's so fun. I love Pokemon as a franchise. I love this series. The nostalgia and warmth and comfort it brings me is crazy, and absolutely.
Tell me about Yuppie Psycho, Elliot.
So Yuppie Psycho is definitely the most niche, small indie darling that we have in this full top 20 list. This is the kind of game that a lot of people wouldn't have heard of, but it deserves its praise. This is like this mix between horror and narrative of something we really haven't seen before, and the art style is amazing, and the kind of way you progress through that game is really captivating as well. And I know it resonated with a couple of people, Edie and Sam on the Checkpoint team, and it's just, yeah, it looked so cool and it played so cool, and it's something it's I wish more people knew about Yuppie Psycho. There are a few games this year that came out that are just such good games, but because there are 100 games that release, you know, every
week.
It's
so tough, isn't it, to make a mark in this crowded industry.
But, like, good on it for making it into our top 20. Like, yeah. Crazy. I didn't see that coming, and it's obviously very, very worth a play.
Devil May Cry 5 is the next one. We're getting to the end of our list. Well, Devil May Cry 5, I mean, it's funny because a lot of people loved this game. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it took some, you know, it didn't take the franchise forward in a way that was really exciting for me. It was kind of more of what made Devil May Cry fun in the first place, which is over-the-top fight scenes, crazy action, combos, getting high scores for killing enemies in creative ways, and moving through nice and fast. So the pace never drops. There's no moment to rest in Devil May Cry. And Devil May Cry 5 definitely captured that tone. It was really fun and frenetic and enjoyable. I like that you could switch it between these different characters at certain points, and you had this one really douchey character called V, who was like an emo, basically, who just read from a book and had these monsters fighting for him. And these really cool special abilities that you can get. You can change weapons and put Dante into a full, like, cowboy hat gear and have, like, little dances. You know, you could grab a motorbike and use that as a weapon and hit people with a motorbike if you wanted to. It was just crazy over-the-top action that Capcom is known for. And Devil May Cry 5, I'm not surprised it got a lot of love this year, because in a real place of serious gaming and maturity and adult themes and kind of mature concepts and things, there's Devil May Cry 5 just tearing shit up and being action-packed crazy, not making any sense at all, but what a fun ride. So no surprise it had some love on our team as well. The last one on our list is one that we both have a lot of love for as well, Elliot. Luigi's Mansion 3.
What a fantastic game. So well implemented and polished, and just a really fun experience to play. Luigi's Mansion, like, I mean, outside of just small niggly things like the controls or the sound that the game makes when Luigi is on low health, like, I can't fault it. It has so much personality and
it's charm.
It's
so charming,
and,
isn't it?
Oh, it's so fun. And it's fully playable co-op, and that's been such a ride for me and my partner. And Luigi's Mansion 3 is just so lovable.
It just
so lovable.
So many cool little hidden secrets and little nods to other things. I think,
yeah,
it surprised me a lot, because when you think it can't be any more creative, you go to the next floor of this hotel and, oh my God, it's so creative. And I think it was so clever that, like, they didn't limit themselves to, like, what a hotel actually would look like.
No, there is an ocean on one floor of the hotel.
There's floors of this hotel that is over the top and full of crazy cool things. And I think that's amazing. Yeah, it starts off pretty simple with the hotel rooms and then quite quickly you're like, oh, this is crazy but over the top.
Even the most simple, like, even the most simple basic hotel room with a bed and, like, an ensuite, there is so much crammed into that that it almost felt a bit like a puzzle game at times where you're like, well, I know there's more to do in this room, right? There's always something to shake or rattle or suck up in your vacuum cleaner. And you'd think that there are so few, like, such a small room, so few interactable options that... surely I've seen it all, but absolutely not. Like, there is... it's just ludicrous how much you can miss and how fine the details are within each room that it's just... kudos.
Very intelligent game design. Yeah. That's for sure. And look, Elliot, that's kind of our list of the 10 games that just missed out. Did you have a personal honorable mention that you think was worthy of a place in our top games list that didn't make it?
I'd probably say... the one game that very easily could have made this top 20 in somewhere is a little puzzle game called Bubba Is You.
Ah, yes.
Which is just so insanely clever. It's borderline genius. And if you like puzzle games, this game should be on your radar. It messes with the way you think and it changes the way puzzle games are supposed to be played. And it forces you to rethink things and stand back a bit and... you get that kind of eureka moment from puzzle games every single time you do a new level. And it's really crazy. I think for me, the reason it wasn't in my personal top five is just because of I found it really hard and it almost gave me pain to try to figure out some of these puzzles. And so it was just that thing of, no, I need to be in the right mind space for this. I need to be like, if you're one of those people who sit down and you just do Sudoku puzzles, like, next time you sit down, play Bubba Is You. You'll find new ways to test yourself.
And for me, the game that just missed out, which was in my top five, is Gears 5.
Yeah.
Gears 5, it's a shame that I think that Gears has this kind of thing where some people kind of go, oh, it's just another Gears game. Like, they kind of put it in that Call of Duty category where it's really like shooty and masculine and violent and they don't really consider it in these sorts of things. But... man, that game, the production design of that game, the quality of the visuals in that title, the voice acting and the skills of the cast of that game is incredible. Laura Bailey, just, I love her so much. No wonder she got nominated for an award for the role as Kate. Strong female protagonist. Fuck yeah.
Hooray.
Fuck yeah. In the Gears universe of all places.
Yeah.
And it took Gears into an open world. It had these giant areas that you could explore and do optional side quests. Like, what are you talking about? This isn't Gears. It is fucking Gears. And they had this great horde mode, this detailed multiplayer, and a brand new mode called Escape topped up for that as well. They had all these cool ideas. And... it's such a fantastic title, and it is a shame that it's been, I guess, missed out on for all these big Game of the Year lists, because I think in a previous year or any other year, it could have easily made a top five list.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Gears is just considered not in contention for these kinds of awards, and it's a damn shame.
If you believe in the concept of an Oscar bait kind of title or something like that, Gears is whatever the opposite of that is. It's one of those... that game exists, of course.
Oh, it's a franchise that we all know about and we have this preconceived notion of what it is and it kind of misses out. But, I mean, I love my Gears. I know I'm biased, but, I mean, Gears 5 is, for me, one of the best Gears games, if not the best Gears game I've played. And this is a franchise that really kind of is one of the pillars of the Xbox now and in the future. So, and with more Gears games on the way, I just feel like Gears 5 should be in the conversation for Game of the Year.
But
I digress. That's okay. That's our list of the games that just missed out, plus a couple of personal favourites thrown in. Elliot, thank you so much.
Thank you, Luke.
You're so welcome. We are going to have this list on the website as well. You go checkpointgaming.net. You can see the 10 games that just missed our top 10 countdown.
Yeah, as well as some of the people who really love them, explaining why they loved them.
Exactly. On top of that, of course, check out our previous podcasts for our Game of the Year countdown, and our list for the top 10 games of the year is also available on checkpointgaming.net. 2020 is going to be huge. Get your body ready, and we'll catch you then here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. Bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.